taking care of business. Path to Pro Radio is on.
Here we go. Give me the guitar.
Take it, man. Take it.
On my knees playing. Anyway, great. Hey, yeah. We haven't done this in a while.
Has been a while.
Yes.
Welcome to Path to Pro Radio. I'm Jimmy Ray.
And this is Bill Crespo. We're here today at Path to Pro Radio with a special guest today. And she's a CNN headline news, former reporter, anchor, and all around, I would say, media expert.
It's quite an impressive resume. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. She's done her homework.
Keynote speaker. She's great. And so, Lynn Smith, how are you today?
Hi, you guys. Can I get in on a jam too? I'm loving the music.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're all rock and rollers. That's what happens. That's what happens when you get older. You just want to just fake like you're really playing.
That's right.
It's good to be with you guys.
Yeah. Well, thanks. So, Lynn, I'm excited because you know we've talked off this podcast before, and you've had some great suggestions for me, but I'm very curious about your beginnings and where you are now, and you were in Atlanta for a long time, weren't you?
I was there for about 8 years, and I call myself a recovering news anchor. Mm. I'm telling you, the business is rough, but it gave me valuable skill set that now I've sort of repurposed in this new life.
Right.
But I started out actually as a page at NBC. You guys know what a page is, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thanks
so
to
I
Bill
was
Clinton.
Seating people. Yeah. Yeah, not that kind of page.
Yeah, okay.
I was seating people at The Tonight Show, and it was so exciting. I was in your entertainment side as an assistant to executives, and I was doing that for about 4 years when I transitioned into news, going to New York from L.A. And so I started at The Today Show producing, and then they had this crazy idea, hey, you know this girl who's a great writer, let's see if she has any chops on camera. They sent me to Hartford, Connecticut, and had me do some on-camera work where the news director told me, you're never going to make it in the top 10 market for 10 years. I just
don't you just love those guys?
I love those guys. You know why? Because I was anchoring in the top one market 2 years later.
You know, that's kind of like the guy that Toby Keith gave his first cassette of songs I wrote, man. I hope you like them in Nashville. And the guy said, man, can you get your job back in Oklahoma? And later, three out of those four songs were number one hits in country music. So those people, I don't even know, how do they get those jobs?
Exactly. They failed up. And you guys know this in radio. There's always someone telling you, you're never going to make it. You're never going to make it. There's a dime a dozen. Thankfully, I was able to work my way through local news and to a national spot on Early Today, where I anchored the 4 a.m. show. So if you're an insomniac or a farmer, you might have seen it. Or nursing moms. We got a lot of nursing moms. And then I moved to Atlanta to work for Headline News. And I was there for 8 years as the Weekend Express anchor. And then most recently on The Story, when I just realized, you know, journalism's changed a lot. And I wanted to be sure I was making a significant impact in my work if I was going to be away from my children. And so I transitioned to repurpose these skill sets to help others tell important stories in the media and not just, we're all fighting with each other, but there's good stuff happening out there.
Can you give us a dirt on CNN? Not in the bad sense, but that whole world of having to compete and deal with you know, the competition with being on air. How did that work? I mean, how do you do that?
I mean, not specifically to one network. It's all the same, you know. I mean, the elbows are sharp. There's always somebody waiting in the wings to take your position. And what I learned is find the people that lift you up and say there's enough room at the table for everyone and be that person.
Yeah.
And then if you're that way, you will find a really good path for yourself. Now, are there times in my career that I might have been able to do some things and been a certain way to escalate my accession into different networks? Maybe. But I stayed myself and I stayed a good person, and that helped me tremendously.
Absolutely. And my thought is that how does somebody that understands what news is supposed to be, how do you deal with news directors that want you to say and promote stuff that may not be factual or that you're uncomfortable with?
I always stood my ground. It definitely didn't help me in my career in some cases. I'll be honest about that. I was very vocal about it. I pulled producers in and say, listen, we don't have this part of the story in there, and they'd put it in, and I was pretty firm about it. So anything that you saw me report on or you saw me anchoring in, I was on board. I felt okay about it. And that let me sleep at night.
Yeah. You know, so many people are, that's one of the big criticisms of the news media these days is, and all over the media, is that, you know, I'm not sure if that's a biased newscast in either direction on any side. It doesn't feel factual to me. As a matter of fact, I saw something yesterday that made that story not true. Who's telling the truth?
And I actually just saw something that 42% of people are just not watching the news at all. And that's disappointing because it's important for all of us to be informed. Yeah. And it's just a responsibility that we now have as citizens to do our homework,
to not assume. It's a lot
to watch every point of view.
You can get very depressed if you watch the news more than 30 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. And it was different. Remember growing up, we only had like, what, three ABC, CBS, NBC. Yes, yeah. Then CNN was this big new thing that had global news, and you were able to be right in the front lines of a war. And it's all, can you actually see where it changed? Is there a point in time when you saw that this thing was actually going a different direction for you, or just in general?
You know, I think it started to transition around 2007, 2008. I noticed there were a lot of seasoned, old school people that were high tickets that were being replaced by a younger generation. There were some, you know, shortcuts that were being made. And then there was just a, once the cable news beast became a business, and there was a ability to make so much money at taking a stand, either side, no matter what you agree with, you know, it becomes a business. And anytime something becomes a business, you take a little bit of the authenticity out of it. And so it goes back to what I say, I'm putting the onus on ourselves to do our homework and to really seek out a variety of opinions.
So
it's
anchor,
not just watch your own opinion.
So an anchor, I mean, basically, does an anchor have the right to do that? Or, I mean, are there anchors that say, well, whatever they put in front of me, I'm going to read?
I won't speak for anyone else. I'll speak for myself in that I will do what I feel comfortable with, and I'll always be vocal, and I'm always open to communication. And my goal is to give the viewer the most thorough information and both sides. I loved Tim Russert. He was an idol of mine.
Yeah,
just, you know, someone who you never knew where Tim stood, because his goal was always to ask the opposite side of the question. And he did that for his viewers so that they got both sides. That's pure journalism.
So Lynn, so at the lunchroom where you're like, they saw you coming, they go, "Here comes Lynn." Did they do that at the CNN lunchroom?
Not at all. I hope everybody respected me for that. And I was not alone. I think everyone, journalists want to challenge each other. It's not, you know, I was the only one that did this. This journalism can also open the eyes of someone who might not have even thought of that side or this side, right, left. And so that's a responsibility for all of us. It's supposed to be collaborative. That's why there's a group of producers and an executive producer and an anchor. It's collaborative.
That's so, it's competitive, and you've got to shine. So when you left Atlanta, that was a huge move for you guys, your family and everything.
Yeah, it was an intentional move too. You know, we wanted we moved from a big city to a small town. We wanted a quieter life for our little boys. We have a 6 and 3 year old, and we wanted a quieter, safer life. And then I could do what I'm doing from anywhere. So we said, and my husband's always been able to do it. He has his own company. So we said, let's just take this leap of faith. And I say that to all of you out there that, you know, this is possible. When you get scared of something, it probably means you should do it. And yeah, it's probably been the most incredible thing I've done in my life.
So you've landed in Connecticut.
No, actually, we're in South Carolina.
Close, Jimmy.
Oh, I thought you said
very close.
Oh,
just
I'm sorry.
A short jaunt from Connecticut. No, we're in South Carolina. We're by the coast, and so just being by water and enjoying a quieter life, but not quieter, because now I'm starting my own company, or started my own company. It's a year old. But still feels like my baby, and it's been pretty awesome.
Tell us about that whole thing that you're doing now, because it's along your lines of your experience, and so it says you're crushing it. Is it the founder of Crush It? Talk about Crush It.
Yeah, it's Crush It on Video, Crush It on TV. So it's my version of media training. You know, so many PR agencies say they do media training, and they've never really been in the anchor seat to know what we want from a guest. And if you're good and you're bringing us great content, we will book you again and again. And for you to be able to be seen in the media and to be as seen on, I mean, there's no credibility that you can pay for that is like that. You know, if I'm Googling someone to work with to buy a house and I see that they're, you know, a realtor that's done well, or I see a realtor that's been on CNBC, I'm going with the CNBC guy, because that's credibility. So I took all of the things that I knew I put into practice, right? I wasn't always good on camera. I had a news director to tell me I'd never make it. So I put into practice all the things that I did to become comfortable on camera and to communicate through the lens, not at the lens, and to tell my story in a compelling way and to tell others' stories in a compelling way. And I put that into a training program, one-on-one coaching, group coaching, and then online courses. And so that way, now I can see my clients on CNN, MSNBC, telling important stories, giving important information. And that's the kind of impact I wanted to make.
You know, right now the pressure's on, and we're in the same group, but there are a lot of people that should not be on video, or they need to take your class to learn how to be better in video. The pressure's on. Are there some people that should just not be on video?
Yes.
Jimmy, I'm not asking you, man. Okay,
I'm one.
Okay, because he's been in radio for 30 some years almost 40 years and 40.
It's a face for radio.
Yeah, so you know.
I don't buy it, Jimmy. When you got that personality and you got that voice, I want to see you on camera. I'm not going to let you say that.
It's a face you'll never forget, though. I just promise you that.
Yeah.
I would never make the blanket statement that there's some people that shouldn't be on video. I think that it's if you're not on video, then you're just going to be crushed by the competition.
Ooh.
It's just a reality of what business is headed towards. You know, I've posted again and again, and you've seen it. You know, if you are not killing it on video, you're going to get killed by the competition, because it's true. So if you aren't good at it, you have to invest in. Now, listen, you're not going to become Katie Couric, and that's okay. No one's expecting you to, but you have to be authentic, genuine, informative, excited to be there, and then let that translate through the lens. And it's possible. People just think it's way more complicated than it is.
You know, that relationship with the dot, you know, which is you're looking at that little dot. I remember doing commercials in my 20s and going, I was freaking out so bad because you have, you know, your directors, producers, they're all looking at you, the people that are going to hire you. And then you got to relate to the dot. Can you help us, give us some tips on how to have that relationship? Because I could see where people are just not, there's some people that just,
connecting.
That's their friend. Yeah. And some of them look like they just, you know, saw a ghost. How do you relate to the dot?
You know? Okay. First, I don't want you to look at the dot. I want you to look through the lens. And I have clients actually picture what I call their MTP. This is their most trusted person. You literally visualize that person's face, the person that you are your most authentic self with, that you're your most comfortable self with, and you talk to them. You get out of your own head all the things that you're thinking. Is this sounding okay? Is this coming across okay? Oh gosh, I just stumbled, right? All those thoughts. You have to implement your mute button. Your mute button is what you actually push when that voice comes on, because all those thoughts in your head come across on your face and through your voice. It is the number one way to begin to become very good on camera. It's muting that voice in your mind.
Yeah,
so if you're looking at your MTP and you're visualizing them, talk to them, and it will come across so much more authentic.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. I was thinking about putting an 8x10 over the dot or something that could, if you don't have like that mind that can picture that and talk to that person or whatever, maybe an actual physical 8x10 or little picture, you know, above the
to cover the lens so that the camera doesn't go.
Well, I mean,
I was going to say, the problem is no one would be able to
see
you then.
Right,
and then if you're looking above the camera, you're going to be looking at the top of the lens.
Maybe in the corner of the teleprompter.
Just practice. You guys know pro athletes do this all the time. Visualization. It's probably the number one tool they use beyond their talent that's making them successful. Visualization of their success.
And I think at times we don't know what our face looks like when we're not in charge of it, like looking at the mirror. So, all right, so now I'm looking at it, and I'm visualizing my friend, and I've noticed that when I do my videos, There's a lot of times I have to do delete, 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 because I realize when I think I'm busting out smiling, I'm not. You know, it's just, I'm not a happy, it's not a natural happy. I have to kind of push myself a little bit. Is that, how do you get to that point where you've got to take that expression to just the next couple steps, because it's not for video?
So were you genuinely happy or genuinely excited when you were talking about that?
Let's see. I mean, I think I am. I was. And it's just sometimes it takes 3 or 4 or 5 takes and keep elevating that enthusiasm, because, you know, you're running your business. You know, I'm coaching all day long, and now I got to do some videos because my coach, you know who he is, told me we got to post them on a weekly basis, where, you know, Lynn and I are in the same group. So we've got a lot posting on. She's the pro. I'm not. So I've got to really work on it. So it's those facial expressions. And it's also the whole scene, the audio, the lights, everything like that. Yeah. So what do you suggest? Because agents have to start off doing it. How do you start off? What do you need? What do you think? And I saw the girl that you said recently that you put on that had that television interview in the news.
And Nico?
She looked great.
I know.
She crushed it.
She crushed it. It's the best part of my job is when I actually get to look at the screen and then someone's face lights up the screen and gives me that smile as the viewer, right? That's the goal, is you want someone sitting on the other side of the camera in their living room to smile when you come on the air. So for your question about smiling, I get this all the time. It's, how do I smile and make it feel natural? Well, have the emotion and it will naturally happen. So I'm sitting here and talking to you, right? I'm excited. I love what I do. I love what I'm talking about. And I'm saying something right now and you can't see me, which is unusual for me because I'm all about video, but I'm smiling. And that comes through in what I'm saying as well.
Absolutely.
You hear when somebody smiles, and that's just because it's genuine. So Bill, I would say to you, when you're doing these videos, think more about the emotion than the actual physical reaction. The physical reaction will happen naturally. So when you go on and you're talking about something that you're really hyped up about, it will come across. If you're not, then it probably won't.
And really, you know, as I'm listening to you, it feels like a lot of what you're talking about, looking into the camera or whatever, translates directly to an agent, let's say a salesperson of any sort, in communication with the person they're trying to, you know, get to buy their widget or whatever.
Yeah, because you're talking about a presentation. You're doing a presentation.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what you're doing on camera is probably what you're going to be doing in someone's home as an agent, or you're presenting anything. I mean, you know, you're selling. I'm reading a book now by Dan Kennedy on presentations, and he's like the godfather of marketing and presentations and putting your products online. But it's so important that you practice. People don't practice enough of their presentation. Forget about the video. They're just not even practicing doing a presentation. How often do you think we should be practicing this to be good, Lynn?
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of a tricky question because I think you can over-practice and you can come across really scripted.
Robotic.
So, for example, when I keynote speak, and I very thoroughly prepare my keynote, and I've probably run through it, you know, 3 or 4 times before I do my final run through. And I'll do my final run through the day before, and I will then put it down and I will not visit it again. And I will, the day of, spend 30 minutes before the keynote, and I will visualize me delivering it. I know you guys are going to probably be like, she's so crunchy granola. It's all about visualization. I'm telling you, it's because it works. So I moderated a panel with Brené Brown, and she gave the keynote, and we were backstage. I talk about this in one of my keynotes. She was backstage, and she pleasantries, hi, back and forth. Of course, I wanted to like fangirl and selfie with her, but she was so razor focused, and she was pacing back and forth with her head down. And you knew she was visualizing herself giving that keynote. And I learned during my interview with her that she's a serious introvert. So for her to go on stage and give a keynote takes a lot. So it tells you, that visualization piece of this is almost as important as everything else you do.
Getting yourself in the right mindset.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was one of my bosses at the time, I was coaching for a company, and there's like 400, 500 people in the audience. And she just grabs me. She goes, come on, we got to talk. I go, what? She goes, come on. So I'm backstage, and she's doing what you just said. She finally kind of separated from me. We're backstage. We're going to be on in about 15 minutes. And she's doing this clenching fist, talking to herself, mm-hmm. looking at the opposite side of the wall backstage. I said, what are you doing? Because I was like, I thought she was having a fit or something, and we needed to call the ambulance. And she goes, I want my energy. And she's 5'1" or 2" at best. I want my energy to go all the way through the audience to the back wall. And I'll never forget her doing that because she got herself prepped up. And I think, Lynn, that we don't, even on the videos that we have to shoot on a regular basis, we're not prepping ourselves for that moment enough. We just jump out of something and go right into this, and you've got to even take some time, right, before you even shoot the video to be in the right framework, as you said. And I think that the novices or the people that just have to do video on a regular basis because they know they have a business that has to have this happening, probably not putting enough time in the beginning to get mm-hmm. into that mindset. What do you think?
I do. I definitely agree. And I also think to your point about what this translates to. So you may be listening to this and thinking, well, I'm never going to make media appearances. So this doesn't apply to me. The problem that people don't realize right now, you are a broadcaster. You right now are a broadcaster. We live by Zoom. We live by video. And if you don't embrace it, then you'll fall behind. On the other side of it, you are all salesmen, right? Saleswomen. We are all looking to evoke impact in what we are sharing when it comes to our tips, when it comes to our information. And I think, Bill, the biggest thing is that people forget about who's on the other side of the lens. Mm. They're thinking about what they're saying, how they're sounding, and all of this. They're forgetting that there's someone on the other side of that lens that needs to hear this and is going to learn something from it. And when you look at it from that position, it gets to be so much more exciting. Yeah.
And, you know, I've always found in radio that instead of thinking about 150,000 people listening to you, it's you're communicating with one person.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm assuming that in video, you're pretty much getting in that same mindset. It's me and them, and that's mm-hmm. it. And, you know,
that's right.
I think if you can boil it down to that one person and you communicating with them, that's got to be a good thing.
And Jimmy's really good at that. I remember being 10 years old listening to him on the radio.
And, Jimmy, are you going to let him say that?
That is not true. He's older than I am.
Okay, so next subject. We'll go right into.
Wait, I was going to ask her something here.
Okay, good.
So I know that in my career, I have some funny stories. Any that pop into your mind as you were coming up in the early days of. And first, how early was it that you realized this is what you wanted to do? And then. Mm-hmm. Where there's some funny stuff that happened, and everybody has these stories, and I don't know if you want to reveal them or not, but for you, was there some funny, quirky stories that you want to, you know, unleash?
Well, I had a very interesting transition to news. I was a journalism major, and I anchored the Miami hub at Miami University, but I didn't want to move to a tiny town and jump through 30 different markets. And probably learn from not that great of news directors and having to relearn once I got in. I'm probably sure you guys have the same experience in radio. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to learn from the best of the best. And that gave me invaluable knowledge, not just on the business side, but on the producing and writing side. So understanding the business, understanding the producing helped me to be a better anchor and reporter. When it comes to the stories, Lord, where do I begin? Okay, so here's a good one from my early days in Philadelphia. You know, my street cred was that I was a producer at the Today Show, which is, you know, it holds some weight. But why in the world did this news director hire me for on air when half of these people, maybe 90% rather than half, 90% of these people had spent 10, 15 years in smaller markets? I mean, Philly's a top four market. So here comes this 27-year-old who is a producer at the Today Show, right? You can imagine all of the rumors that were said about me, all of which were not true. And so they gave me a position as a consumer reporter, thinking that that would be really safe, right? They just wanted my writing skills. And so they gave me a position as a consumer reporter. Well, that day, it was my very first day on the job. I happened to be the closest to a stabbing at a school. So they had to send me with my truck there for the live shot. And then they were like, okay, we'll wait for a real reporter to get there. But they were like an hour away. So I had to go on. And let me tell you, walking back into that newsroom after completely falling on my face, I think I called it a shooting instead of a stabbing. I mean, it couldn't have been worse. I didn't even say the right town. It was bad. So the only other one that I'll share right now, just because I'm really loving being self-deprecating, is, you know, when you end your local, when you're a reporter and you say, reporting from New York City, Lynn Smith, WNBC. Yeah. So at the end of my report, I forgot where I was. So I was like, reporting in... I'm Lynn Smith.
Reporting from somewhere.
You fill in the blank.
Reporting from somewhere. I mean, talk about Ron Burgundy. But I probably have so many more. But, you know, those are the things that make us stronger.
Yeah. And, you know, I found that the human thing, people are okay with that.
Yeah,
I mean, if that happens to you on the air, whether it's visual or audio medium, if you're just a person and you screw up and you just go with it, whoops.
Yeah.
Where am I anyway?
Yeah. And I think that's on video too, which is a good point of being more, just be you more than having to be the polished actor. You know, we interviewed Alan Williamson, who's a local real estate agent who's made it kind of semi-big in Hollywood and doing all these streaming shows and videos that are going on as an actor. And, you know, it's just being you, but having to... You know, I think it's being comfortable in you. I think we have to always try to be someone else. I got to be this perfect video person. And even in our business, in coaching and training and teaching, I can't be anything else but me because it's so hard to be someone else. It's just so hard to try to be this perfect person. I'm a wearable without a cause. But I just think it's so important that someone like you is there to help these people and you know, hopefully that we'll be able to work together because I think there's a tremendous amount of insight that you have. So if someone wants to know more about this and they want to learn more and work with you, how do they do that?
You can head over, and I hope we can work together because I think that you have such great – I sent you a couple news pegs that I think would be fantastic for you.
Cool.
You can head over to my website. It's lynnsmithtv.com. And I also have a newsletter on LinkedIn called The Green Room, where I just share a lot of these types of tips that I'm talking about and a lot of that insider information. And I'll tell you one quick story because you talked how important it is to be you.
Yeah.
When I was leaving Philadelphia and I got promoted to WNBC in New York, that top one market that guy in Hartford said I'd never make it to.
Yeah.
When I went there, my news director in Philadelphia said to me, never stop being yourself. And I was like, what do you mean? Why wouldn't I be myself? Because to me, being myself is really easy. I've just never thought of anything different. And then when I went to network, I went into cable, I saw how easy it is to be someone else. Mm-hmm. Everyone's telling you, you need to be more this, more that, more this, more that. And I just encourage people, like when you stay true to yourself and you let that come across. If you saw my video the other day when I'm trying to just record some content, and my 3-year-old's like, mom, you know, I put that out there because I'm a working mom. That's the reality of what I do. So let that be and let that land for you and let that really just come across in what you do, because there is only one you. It is where you will have zero competition in life. And so let that you shine.
You know, I love that. There's only one you. That's crazy good.
Lynn, you are awesome. Thank
you
so much.
You're awesome, guys. I had so much fun.
Appreciate it. And we'll get this out. And you guys, check Lynn out. She will help you tremendously because she's going to help me tremendously. I tell you that much.
Until next time, we'll see you.
Thanks, Lynn.
Path to Pro Radio.